The reading is from the second letter of Paul to the Corinthians. It is necessary to boast. Nothing is to be gained by it, but I will go on to visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a person in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And I know that such a person, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know, God knows, was caught up into paradise and heard things that are not to be told, that no mortal is permitted to repeat. On behalf of such a one I will boast, but not on my behalf I will not boast, except of my weaknesses. But if I wish to boast, I will not be a fool, for I will be speaking the truth, but I refrain from it, so that no one may think better of me than what is seen in me or heard from me, even considering the exceptional character of the revelations. Therefore, to keep me from being too elated, a thorn was given to me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me, to keep me from being too elated. 3 times I appealed to the Lord about this, that it would leave me, but he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for power is made perfect in weakness. So I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities for the sake of Christ. For whenever I am weak, then I am strong." This is the word of the Lord.
Our gospel reading is taken from the gospel according to Mark. Jesus left that place and came to his hometown, and his disciples followed him. On the Sabbath, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astounded. They said, "Where did this man get all this? What is this wisdom that has been given to him? What deeds of power are being done by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, and brother of James, and Joseph, and Judas, and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. Then Jesus said to them, "Prophets are not without honor, except in their hometown and among their own kin and in their own house." And he could do no deed of power there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and cured them. And he was amazed at their unbelief. Then he went about among the villages teaching. He called the 12 and began to send them out 2 by 2, and gave them authority over the unclean spirits. He ordered them to take nothing for their journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals and not to put on 2 tunics. He said to them, "Wherever you enter a house, stay there until you leave the place. If any place will not welcome you and they refuse to hear you, as you leave, shake off the dust that is not on your feet as a testimony against them." So they went out and proclaimed that all should repent. They cast out many demons and anointed many with oil who were sick, and he cured them. This is the word of the Lord.
May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts always be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. He's coming home. What were the hopes and expectations of that day, I wonder? when Jesus came home. The concept of coming home is quite topical, isn't it? It reminds me of that song from 1996, Football's Coming Home. Reflecting the fact that it was the first football competition to be held in England for 30 years. But the song evolved to introduce that the idea that the trophy might actually come home, where it truly belonged, the home, the country that gave the game to the world. A song based on unrealistic hope and expectation. But it also has those words that there's no doubt England is going to fail again. But we're still in there. We're still in there. Where is your home? Perhaps you're an Oxfordian. And you will have seen, having lived in this town, if you have all this life, or lived here a long time, you will have seen huge changes. Or if you go back to your place of origin after many years, you will see huge changes. In fact, when I went back to Stockport at the start of last football season with the Archdeacon with me, we were chatting away. I drove down this street and then got a nasty letter 2 weeks later. I'd driven through a poorly signed place, actually, but it was a bus gate. No cars allowed. And actually, it's caught a lot of people out. But I'd driven down that street for many, many years. And suddenly, something's changed, and I get a nice fine to welcome me back home. Not nice. I go back home to that place where people gather because it's more about place, actually. It's as much about place than people. Because when I go home to that stadium in Stockport, most of the people over the years have changed. People have died, moved on, moved away. I will see just one or two people from my past there, or bump into someone occasionally. But that place is somewhere I've been since the age of 8. I've suffered there. I've rejoiced there. But it's a place that's important, and you will have your own important places too. In geographical terms, I feel a bit nomadic, actually. I feel at home here, at this stage of my life. But where will I live eventually? I don't know. It's kind of, I've moved around a lot in my life, actually, since getting married. Angela married me for stability. She'd moved around all in her childhood, and she thought, I'm marrying this lad from Stockport, he's going to stay there. And then I started getting itchy feet and moving around. But it's important wherever we are to feel part of community, where we are in that present time. During the week, I went to a public meeting in Chelford with my rural dean hat on. I was at a public meeting discussing the future of the church there. And in conversations afterwards, it became obvious to me that there was a strong sense of community there in the people who've lived there for a long time. But a lot of people have moved into Chelford, into this village, who actually have no connection, and there isn't that same link to the community that there was. But at the heart of the village, there remains a significant number of people for whom the place matters a lot. And there's a lot of deep, long friendships there. Going further back, I went to Nazareth in 2011. The town of Nazareth is actually 5 times the size of Knutsford, a population approaching 80,000 people. It's quite a big place now, but in Jesus' time, you can imagine Nazareth would have been a fraction of its size it is now. An absolute fraction. And people, of course, then And in recent times, actually, people didn't live such transient lives. People stayed in the village. They didn't move away with a job, generally speaking. People would live and grow up and stay in that village. Everyone would know everyone. There'd be no secrets in Nazareth 2,000 years ago. Nothing much would change. Life would carry on as it normally did. And when Jesus left the town, life there would have been so familiar, comfortable, predictable. Nothing much changing. So Jesus comes home. Jesus comes home. And no doubt rumours were getting round this community about what Jesus had been up to. I can imagine the attendance in the synagogue would have been such that it was standing room only. Because people are curious, aren't they? Even those who didn't normally go to the synagogue, I suspect, would go to the synagogue to see this Jesus who's come home. This place where everyone knew everyone. No strangers waiting for Jesus, the carpenter, son of Mary. The absence of Joseph being mentioned infers that Joseph has died. He was no longer alive. And it's probable that Jesus' ministry was delayed until a time when the family no longer needed his support. You might say, if the world needed saving, why did he leave it till 27 to 30 years of age? Well, perhaps he had family responsibilities to deal with before he could go out and do his ministry. He was faithful to his family and to his calling. So, into this environment of little change and stability comes Jesus. Jesus, who's been baptized in the Jordan, baptized in the Spirit, lived in the desert, he's healed others at Capernaum and elsewhere in Galilee. And now, after his preaching tour of Galilee, he comes home and, supported by his 12 apostles, for the first time, he arrives in his hometown in Nazareth. Many lives have remained pretty static, but Jesus' life had changed significantly. We can be certain that when Jesus came back, he probably wasn't the same Jesus that left them. I think when we speak of hometown now, I'm talking about more than Nazareth, Knutsford, or wherever you hail from. It's not so much about geography, but something within us. The hometown can be about you, your identity, how you live your life, what you believe, the values you have, your political view. The hometown is the lens through which you see the world and how you live. Oh, come to my heart, Lord Jesus, there is room in my heart for thee. Being in the hometown, living in the hometown, like playing sport at home, can be advantageous, but it can also be the opposite. When the family don't agree with you, when the crowd turns against you, what is advantageous becomes disadvantageous. Jesus' own people in Nazareth had a closed view on life. It's not like now, is it, with so many channels of communication which inform us and help us to reshape our hometown of life. The people of Nazareth then would have had little or no exposure to radical teaching or seeing things differently. Familiarity was blocking a wider view and a new way of seeing things differently. The people of Nazareth were probably quite happy with the status quo. And to use a recent phrase, when Jesus came, they weren't voting for change. They were voting to keep things exactly as they are, thank you very much. They wanted to remain content, comfortable, not to be disturbed. And so, ultimately, they rejected him. They rejected him. And that, in a sense, is the link to the first reading from Corinthians, 2 Corinthians. Paul is writing about the persecution, the difficulties that he's having to deal with in his ministry. They rejected Jesus despite the wonders they had heard about and the astonishing wisdom of his teaching. It made no difference. And of course, in later in that gospel, he's preparing the disciples to be rejected. If they don't welcome you, move to another place. It's only Jesus coming home. It's only Mary's son. You know, the carpenter who fixed our doors and made a nice table for us. Fixed the window frame. It's only him, the carpenter. Just a hometown kid. Hometown disadvantage. And so they rejected him. They took offence. And were told then he could only do a few deeds of power there. People's hearts were closed to the Spirit working. So, what am I saying today? Don't let the hometown disadvantage get the better of you. Shake off the dust from your own feet and move on. And let yourself be prepared to let Jesus change your hometown, your heart. Let him mould you. And then, what might you experience beyond your own town limits? Oh, come to my heart, Lord Jesus. There is room in my heart for thee. Amen.